your feet, and you also ought to wash another's feet. For I have given you an example. Now, folks, get that. He said, I have given you an example, not an ordinance. Now, I don't want to cause any problems, but foot washing is not an ordinance of the church. It's an example for the church. It's an example of humility. And now, God give two ordinances, and that's believer's baptism by immersion, and also the Lord's Supper, the Lord's table. But foot washing is not an ordinance. God taught them this as an example. Amen. Amen. Nothing wrong with using this to teach for an example. Amen. The King of Glory humbled himself and washed somebody's feet. And I'll say more about that. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. For you know these things, happier are ye if you do them. Now may the Lord add his blessings. Let's pray. Father, we do love you this morning, and we're thankful for the reading of your word. And I ask you now, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that you'd have mercy upon my mind, my heart, my mouth, and enable me to preach with the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray that you would illuminate my mind. I don't want to rush you today. I don't want to get ahead of you today. I don't want to get behind you today. I want to be exactly where I'm supposed to be, saying exactly what I'm supposed to say. So, Lord, we commend this message into your hands and ask you to have mercy upon us. And thank you for all you do for us that we see and all you do for us that we don't see. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Again, now we understand that the hour of Christ is drawing near. The very purpose that he came to this earth was to give his life a ransom for many. He was to come as the God-man. Jesus was all God, and yet he was all man. He didn't have contaminated blood because he was conceived of the Holy Spirit. Adam's blood did not flow through Christ like his blood flows through us. And so therefore we are contaminated. We are sinful. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But Christ was impeccable. He did not sin, nor could he have sinned. The impeccability of Christ is that, yes, he was all man, but he did not have a sin nature. He did not sin upon this earth, nor could he have sinned upon this earth. So today, don't lower him down. He made himself of no reputation, and we'll get to that. But he never ceased to be God, making himself a servant to us. Remember that. What an example of humility that is. But again, his hour is about to come. He's about to shed his blood. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. There's no escaping sin. Had God not sent God sent his son to die for us, to give his life, to become sin for us. And I preach it all the time. And that hour is coming. He's going to the cross. He's going to shed his blood on the cross, become the sacrifice. Again, the Old Testament talks about lambs and talks about the different lambs, but Christ is the Lamb. John was baptizing and he saw Jesus coming. He said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." Old Testament lambs atoned sin; they didn't take it away. And so I'm thankful Christ was about to come and give his life. He was headed to the cross. And then we know he was put in a borrowed tomb. And in 3 days and 3 nights, he resurrected bodily, victoriously over death, hell, and the grave. And if you get saved, you got to get saved by the gospel. That Christ died for your sins according to the scriptures. And that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. So here's the text. That's where we are. And it's amazing to me that there's a few lessons that Christ is teaching the disciples between now and the time of the cross. And it's amazing to me that this is one of them. One of the few lessons that he's closing out his earthly ministry by teaching these men. He taught them in chapter 16 that they would face tribulation. They'd face trials. He said, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. But now here in this text, he is teaching them a very valuable lesson on humility. He let them know. He said, for I have given you an example. The example was he washed their feet. The example was, hey, never think you're better than anybody. It's one thing that aggravates me is people that think they're better than other people. I don't like that. I don't like that. I don't believe that. Hey, that's wicked. Some folks are noses so far up in the air, if it rained, they'd drown. Not me, buddy. I realize, but for the grace of God, I am what I am. Amen. But for the grace of God, I am what I am. And so are you. Now, I know that probably shocks some of you. If you pass out, we'll throw some water in your face. You just can't believe it, that you're just common folk. We all are. Folks, you understand that God formed man out of the dust of the ground. And God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. You understand? We come from dust. We come from dirt. That's what we're going back to. Amen. That's right. And folks, this old body is corruptible. My nature, my carnal nature, my birth nature, first birth nature is corruptible. And so is yours. So Christ is trying to teach a very valuable. Now here, the Passover, the Last Supper, they go hand in hand. That's what's happening here. We could call it the Last Supper. A lot of people do that. Of course, we understand that the wine, the fruit of the vine, and the bread represent the blood of Christ and the body of Christ. And all these things, the Passover was a time of commemorating or celebrating the Jews' deliverance from Egypt's bondage and their darkness. The supper supplied the symbols of redemption. The fruit of the vine and the bread. But anyway, Christ, after they had eaten, look at what he did. After they had celebrated, after they had remembered, now he is teaching them a lesson that is very valuable and it's going to be very needed in their ministry that's coming ahead. Folks, men battle pride. I preach it all the time, but we do. We battle pride more than anything. And folks, I'll be honest with you. I don't think there's a good connotation of pride. Well, I've got my pride. I wouldn't brag on that. I think you ought to find a different word, because most time we say that, I understand, well, I want to be my own man. I want to do things. I want to provide. That's a good thing, but when we brag on pride, I think we're missing it. When we promote pride, I think we're not careful. We'll promote ourselves. That's right. I think if we lift up the word pride, I think we're on a slippery slope. So look in verse 4. Let me go through these things quickly and I'm done. Notice what he did. Look at verse number 4. And he riseth from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and he girded himself. Now, get this. Again, Jesus never ceased to be God incarnate. He was the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, even in this text. He didn't become the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and he resurrected. He's always been the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Get a hold of that. Amen. So, to wash feet was a job for a servant. You look up the history. It was the servants of the house that, hey, washed feet. Folks, they walked everywhere they went. Amen. And they didn't have wingtip shoes. They didn't have Nikes and On Clouds and Adidas. They wore sandals, and most of the time they went barefoot. And they walked through the desert sand day in, day out. And when they got to their destination, the place, someone's place, it was the service job to meet them there and set them down before they really entered into the house and refresh them by washing their feet. I don't care who you are, especially when you get in your 50s. Man, a good washing your feet makes you feel better. Amen. Man, but I still can't get my wife to wash my feet, though. She would if I couldn't do it myself. I've kind of hurt my hamstring here, and I thought she was going to put my socks on. And of course, she says, well, you know I wouldn't do it right, and you'd say something about it. But anyway, that was refreshing. And it refreshed them from walking in that dirt and that heat, and their feet was. So the Lord here now, He is showing them, never think you're too good to be a servant. Amen. Now, this is simple application. But folks, you got to remember, we live in a day today where no one wants to serve. Everybody wants to be in charge. Everybody knows what it ought to be like. Everybody ought to know it's how it ought to be, but nobody wants to make it be. They want to tell you how it is and what it ought to be, then they want you to do it. Oh, I'm not a servant. Folks, we're in a time, I'm trying not to run a rabbit here. We're in a time of promotion of self-love. Now, I'm not saying we ought to beat ourselves up all the time, and you know, that's a form of pride too, oh me. But folks, we are what God made us. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. If anybody ought to be promoted, it's His love. But God commended His love toward us, and that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. We ought to be promoting the love of God, not self-love. Love yourself. Folks, I'm not careful, you get to loving yourself too much, pride will take over. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 2, verse number 7, Christ made Himself of no reputation. He took upon Himself of the form of a servant. Now, what does that mean? Christ made Himself of no reputation. Folks, you understand, Jesus, instead of having the privileges of a king, no earthly king had ever washed anybody's feet. No earthly king would even dream of washing anybody's feet. So the Lord made Himself of no, the reputation of the king. Kings don't wash feet. Servants wash feet. The reputation of the king was his feet's to be washed. You wash his feet. You serve him. You bow down to him. And so Christ made Himself of no reputation. He set His glory aside, so to speak. He set what He deserved aside. Oh, yeah. He never ceased to be God. He was the King of glory. But you know what He did? He made Himself of no reputation. You know what He showed us? Set yourself aside. Set yourself aside and serve. Folks, even from the beginning in Matthew 20, verse 28, the Bible said, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give His life a ransom for many. The word ministered there means serve. He came not to be served, not to be ministered, but to minister, but to serve. Can I say something to you? One of the greatest evidences of Christ's likeness is a servant's heart, is servitude. Folks, I believe this. The more Christ-like you get, the stronger your desires to honor God in service. But now, let me go ahead and hit this. Not getting off of serving. The Bible's got bahookus to say about serving. Serve the Lord with gladness. But the Lord don't want our service to get so cumbered. Mary Martha. He don't want our service to get so cumbered or get us get to serving so much we get distracted from our relationship with Christ. Now, I got to put that in there. I got to put that in there. Folks, we need Marys and we need Marthas. And you know what? We can be both. But we can't get cumbered with one and forget about the main thing. See, I'm preaching service. I'm preaching humility. I'm preaching putting others before yourself. I'm preaching a servant's heart and not thinking you're too good to serve. And you know, if it don't go exactly like I want it to go, I ain't doing that. I am preaching that, but at the same time, we can't quit serving, but we should never let it trump his feet, sitting at his feet. Now, you understand that. I hope I'm trying to balance that. The most important thing that we do is get with God, is our relationship with Him. Don't ever, hey, it doesn't matter how much you serve. If you don't have a relationship with the Lord, your serving is in vain. But I still say the more Christ-like we become, the more desire to serve God we'll get. I know you don't have to amen that, but it's still right. I believe the more Christ-like, the more we want to do something for Jesus. Folks, it's like this. If Brother Jay buys my breakfast twice, I'm promising him I want to do something for him. If we have to go out in the back of the restaurant and fight it out, I'm buying the next one. Then I don't fight fair either. Folks, think about all the Lord's done for us. Does that not want you to make you want to do something? We can't repay Him. But does that not make us want to humble ourselves and do something, serve His cause? Serve somebody else? Do something to be a blessing to others? Does that not provoke us to do that? Pastor in the same church, working on 29 years. You know, you come in contact with a lot of different people. And to me, here's something that God's people's got to stop, because it does not show humility. I do nothing for nobody. But now if I need you, you better be there. I'm going to give you an example. Can I give you an example? One of the greatest ministries, and some of y'all are going to say, wow, that's one of the greatest ministries in our church? It is. It is. And that's serving others when they have a loved one to pass away. That's one of the greatest ministries of this church, and that's the fewest participants that we have. Preacher, are you rebuking us? Did you catch your tail? That's one of the fewest participants. And when folks pass away, we reach out and we try to be a blessing. And most time it's with food. Folks, when a Baptist has a loved one to die, chickens run and hide. I mean, there's more chicken strips. I like it, though. Our chicken said, oh, Lord, y'all read the obituary today. A Baptist died. Y'all know a preacher's stomach is a chicken graveyard, and his belt's the fence around it. Well, y'all need to wake up. That's one of my good jokes. But anyway, I've had people never take part in that. And I know, well, I do this, I got to do that, I can't do this. I believe that there's an effort ought to be made in that kind of service. And I've had this happen. I'm already knee-deep in this. I might as well go ahead and preach it. But some of those same people have gotten upset at me in this church. Well, we didn't get enough food. Nobody done. Nobody did. Nobody. What? And I'm thinking, are you really thinking about what you're saying? I'm at everybody's funeral here. And I'm at everybody's eating here. And ain't never seen you serve. Never seen you bring. Never seen you do. And you're going to come. The least I would do if I wasn't going to serve, I wouldn't get mad when I wasn't served. I'd keep this buttoned. But some people don't. And that's a sad place, is if we're not going to serve, then we shouldn't pout when we're not served. Come on. If you're sitting here and expecting during times like this for your church to be there to do things like that, then you need to make an effort. We all can't do stuff all the time, but most of the time, where there's a will, there's a way. There's a way to do it. You can get it done. That's what servants do. They sacrifice. They rearrange their schedule. They'll make something happen. They'll make it work. And that's just one example. And I know it's almost 12 o'clock, and I mentioned chicken, everybody's stomachs are growling. What he did. Then notice this, and I'm hurried. When he did it, you got to notice that. Look at verse 1. Now when the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. Look at verse 3. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God. What are you saying, preacher? This lowly act of personal humility and service was shown, get it, even as he knew what was about to happen to him. He knew that the gruesome death and the agony, the death of the cross, the agony of Gethsemane, I mean, everything, the desertion. Wasn't this Peter? They all ran when trouble come. Everyone that is, he knew, the whole crowd about to desert him. I think about it. The Lord knew exactly what was about to come his way, but yet he still taught humility. He still taught service, no matter what was going on in his life. Folks, I thought about myself, and all the times I've got taken up with my own suffering, my own problems, that for those moments, it was just all about me. And I never had a thought about what others needed from me. Get a hold of that. Folks, Christ was about to go through the awfulest death. The Bible said he's marred more than any man. The sufferings on the way to the cross, much less the agony of the cross. But he was not thinking of himself. What he did. When he did it. I'm running. How he did it. He said, having loved his own, which were in the world. He done it twofold. He done it lovingly, and he done it voluntarily. He did it knowingly. He knew that those men that he was washing their feet was going to take those feet and desert him. Get a hold of that. I'm going to say something to you. Most people, not all people, of course, get a hold of this. You're going to need this. Most people, not all people, of course, that you help and serve in your life probably won't return the favor and might even turn on you one day. Even though we know that, we still serve. Even though we know that, we still serve. Because if your service is just based on what you want them to give you one day, you'll never serve. Because they may not give you nothing. So serve wanting or expecting nothing in return. Christ knew, he knew exactly, these men are going to turn their back on me, they're going to leave me, but he's still serving them. He's still washing their feet. Folks getting bit by people, and that's a figure of speech, will cause us not to want to help anybody. But we can't let that happen. We cannot allow that to happen. Now, people will take advantage and they'll keep on and keep on. God gives discernment to lovingly know when to say okay. But helping someone, serving someone who basically just spits that back in your face one of these days, that don't mean you stop serving. That don't mean you get a bitter spirit. That don't mean you quit. Not everybody's going to say thank you. Not everybody's going to appreciate it. Not everybody's going to do that. But Jesus, he kept serving. Let me give you this. Why did he do it? Verse 15, for example and instruction. Folks, let's be honest. These men didn't deserve that Christ washed their feet. Even they knew it. Peter knew it. But it wasn't about what they deserved. It was about extending love, grace, and mercy to someone and lowering yourself to be kind and humble doing it. I'm going to say this. Be careful lighting up and burning bridges. Be careful doing that. Be careful making the statement, I'll never have anything to do with them again. Because you know what's going to happen? God's going to make you rebuild a bridge and go serve them. How you know? For somebody that don't know nothing about building, I've built a lot of bridges back in my life. For somebody to say, they ain't hurting me no more, sure had to go serve them again. Be careful saying, I won't do it. Be careful torching the bridge. Oh, you be more wise about things. And you be more careful about things. But don't ever say, I'm too good for that. I'm too good for them. No, you're not. Jesus washing Peter's feet, knowing he's going to cuss and say, I don't even know him. Well, I'd have been done with it. Yeah, me too. Have you caught any meat? No, and Peter saw it was the Lord. Jumped in the water. Swam to him. And the other disciples came in another boat. Every one of them had deserted him, and the Lord shows back up. Every one of them, and he washed their feet, left him alone to suffer alone. And have you any meat? And guess what was going on when they got to shore? He'd already was cooking for them. He's serving them again. I can't say I'm all the way there. Sorry, there. I'm country, man. And I hated English. But fish was already fried. He's already serving them again. And you'd think, especially Peter, Lord, you ain't going to wash my feet. I'll be offended, but not, Peter just yapping that mouth. You'd think he would just snub him. But you, well, that's probably what we'd do, wouldn't we? I'm not saying I wouldn't give him some fish, but I wouldn't speak to him. Man, he done messed up. I see Peter at Walmart, I ain't talking to him. Some people that been mad at me figured out how fast I can move in Walmart. You can run, but you can't hide. I'm coming. I'm coming. They think they lost me, and I'm right behind them. Hey! Man, preachers are experts at Walmart finding. I wouldn't even speak to him. Oh, I ain't got ill will toward him, but I hate him. You know, that's what we won't say that out loud, but that's in our heart. Jesus didn't snub him. He said, Peter, this means you go have some fellowship. Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? Third time, Peter, do you love me? Do you understand the desire for him to have fellowship with you? Then that's a whole different message. Whew. That the God of heaven, that knows every stinking thing about me, desires to fellowship with me. I wouldn't give me time of day. But he does. And folks, what does that teach us? What does that teach us? You be careful burning bridges. I need to be careful burning bridges. Because the very bridge you burn, the very person that you kick out of your life and say never again will be the next person you need. And I've said this a million times, and I don't know why it's popped in my head. Billy Turner, there ain't but one person can make me have a problem with you, and that's you. But we're going to straighten that out. You listening to me? I ain't lighting a bridge. Be careful. Servants don't have that kind of superior attitude. Servants realize in serving, you might get hurt. In serving, you might stumble. In helping others, you'll be unappreciated. Folks, the servants of the Bible days, they weren't bragged on. They weren't lifted up. They served, and that's it. Never expected to be shown gratitude from their master. But the Lord blesses us. The Lord takes care of us. Let's humble ourselves and serve Him. There's so much I'd like to say. Let's all stand. Come on, Courtney.